My name is Lee Hawkins. I've been a journalist for over 25 years. On my new podcast, What Happened in Alabama, I get answers to some of the hardest questions about how things came to be for many Black Americans and the truth that must come before any reconciliation can happen. I investigate my family history, my upbringing in Minnesota, and my father's painful nightmares about growing up in Alabama. What Happened in Alabama is a new series confronting the cycles of trauma for myself, my family, and for many Black Americans. Listen now.
There is one last chance to double your impact when you donate during this May fundraiser. It's Match Monday, and the Investors Challenge Fund is matching donations, today only, up to $25,000. We need to put every dollar of these funds to use for our newsroom in the months ahead so we can keep you and people across the country informed. Give right now and generously at marketplace.org/donate.
Global inflation seems to be easing, but there's still no quick fix. Live from the BBC World Service, this is the Marketplace Morning Report. I'm Will Bain. Thanks for being back with us. A slew of inflation data for us to pick through today. In a moment, we'll be hearing about Japan's pretty unique approach to the price rise puzzle. But first, data here in Europe continues to suggest the worst of the inflation pain might be over, for now at least. In the UK, inflation inched down to 10.5%, whilst the final Eurozone figure came in at 9.2% for December, again down on November's 10.1%. Still, those shifts don't help people in the here and now, struggling after months of rocketing prices, as Katie Barnfield has been finding out here in the UK.
Old MacDonald had a farm.
It's story time for children at this library in Yorkshire in northern England. Parents here are grateful for this free activity, at a time when the cost of so much else is rising fast.
Rather than using an oven, we're now just using the air fryers and things like that because it's so much more efficient.
You can only have the heating on for a certain amount of time a day. You've got like dressing gowns and blankets.
The cost of living squeeze here in the UK is unrelenting. While some things, like gasoline, have come down from their recent highs, food is still a big driver of rising prices. A poll for the BBC by Savannah Comrez found 62% of people had been buying less food to try and cut costs.
We used to do big shops all the time, and now it's like, let's go out here and then to get what I need.
And it's higher costs for producers that are pushing up prices on the shelves. At this auction selling live lambs, farmers say demand is down, but their costs are up.
Feed's, you know, probably up 30-40% on what it normally is. Your fuel's similar, and the costs have gone through the roof, and producing lambs and losing money, it's not much fun.
Another big concern in the UK is energy bills. Household gas and electric costs are due to rise again in April. At the same time, much of the government support for businesses comes to an end. Filling jars at her Yorkshire factory, jam producer Rachel Kettlewell says her energy costs have tripled.
Every single time we make a batch of jam, maybe it used to cost £10 in electricity and now it's costing £30 in electricity, and we have to find that additional money. It does seem like every other day there's another business disappearing, which is really sad.
Although many economists think inflation here may now have peaked, for many people across the UK, life doesn't feel any cheaper. I'm the BBC's Katie Barnfield for Marketplace.
Sticking to the sticky inflation theme, in Japan it's at a 40-year high, although at about 4%, it's far lower than in most countries around the world. But the central bank there is taking a pretty unique approach. Interest rates are still in negative territory. Earlier there was an update from the Bank of Japan, one the BBC's Mariko Oi was watching closely.
It was, I have to say, one of the most highly anticipated BOJ meetings. And I'm usually the only geek who's like gets really excited about it. But today, a lot of people were actually paying attention to it. There was a lot of speculation about what they might do. Of course, they did absolutely nothing. The Japanese central bank governor, Haruhiko Kuroda, doesn't think that raising interest rates would really help, or rather, it would really hurt the Japanese economy. And as a result, what it can do is to tighten its monetary policy by touching what's known as the yield curve control.
Right.
I might actually get sacked for saying this word.
Yeah, but, well, I ask this with trepidation, but that is where the battle now lies, doesn't it? Because Mr. Kuroda leaves his position at the head of the Bank of Japan now. YCC, yield curve control, is now the battleground. As simply as you can, Mariko, what does this tool attempt to do?
Basically, the Bank of Japan puts a cap on long-term interest rates on, say, 10-year Japanese government bonds. So what they did last month, which really shocked the market, was to bring that up from 0.25 percentage point to now 0.5 percentage point. Some experts are saying that this YCC, as it's known, should be abandoned altogether.
Right, that it's too restrictive.
Absolutely.
The BBC's Asia Business correspondent, Mariko Oi, thanks so much, as always, for breaking that down for us.
Thank you, Will.
Well, let's see how the markets reacted this time as we check the numbers now. Where the yen slid against the dollar, down 2% to 129 yen to the dollar. Shares on Tokyo's Nikkei close up 2.5%. Elsewhere, the International Energy Agency forecast oil demand will hit a new record high this year, citing the reopening of the Chinese economy as the big driver there. Now, one of the many controversial decisions made by Twitter's new CEO, Elon Musk, since his takeover of the firm has been around verified accounts with blue ticks. Mr. Musk changed the system to a subscription one, and now an unlikely party has been taking advantage: Afghanistan's Taliban. Abdirahim Saeed from BBC Monitoring told the BBC's James Reynolds more.
At least three Taliban officials and four prominent supporters using the new version of the blue tick. One of them described himself as the head of the Taliban's Department for Access Information, so a media official, and he had something like almost 200,000 followers. Another official is also works in the media department or media activities of the Taliban, and both have the blue tick. It says this account is verified because it's subscribed to Twitter Blue. Crucially, out of those three officials, two have actually seem to have lost the blue ticks and one still has it. And it's not clear, did they remove it voluntarily or is Twitter starting to clamp down on them?
Do we know if Twitter has a policy on the Taliban having blue ticks?
They've been really quiet and we tried to contact them, but no statement has been forthcoming. Actually, the presence of the Taliban on Twitter predates the recent takeover by Elon Musk and actually been there for years. Compared to other social media platforms, Twitter hasn't taken a hard line stance, and the Taliban, they would push their narratives on really controversial subjects like the education of women.
The BBC's Abdirahim Saeed. Big thanks to our BBC team here too, Jack, who's been at the controls, James, who's been producing, and to you for listening to the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
Hey everyone, it's Rima Khreis, host of This Is Uncomfortable. If you're looking for some good recommendations on books to read, well, you should join This Is Uncomfortable's Summer Book Club. Every other week in our newsletter, we'll share a new book that'll make you rethink your relationship to money, class, and work, while also featuring an interview with the author or an expert on the topic. Plus, when you join, you'll be entered in a giveaway where you could win some This Is Uncomfortable merch. Be sure to check it out. Sign up today at marketplace.org/bookclub.